Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Steve King and Johnny Futman at WGN Radio. Boy, does that bring back a lot of memories.
That's for people who would get up at 3:45 to start their day, and they would hear this once a week, and they knew the next thing they were going to hear was Gino,
the showbiz machino.
Gino's...
No. Yeah. I'm not going on until I hear the whole intro, the way Steve used to do it.
He forgot.
I'm trying to think of how he actually
forgot the intro.
How did I do it?
It was something like your voice going, well.
Oh,
that was
it was
Mr. Ed voice.
Oh, I'm trying to remember what I said. Well, boys and girls.
Yes.
Oh, and I got to remember. I haven't done that in so many years. You're going to have to send me the script, Gino.
That hurts. By the way, congratulations on having the voice of God doing news for you.
Oh, how about it?
Yeah.
What a voice.
Yep.
And you know what's funny? He's like 4'7", and it seems so wrong that voice should be coming out of his body. Now, Gino, how many years did we do a showbiz report?
Oh, my God. At least 10.
Oh, yeah. No. I said it was 17.
You know, we should back up for a second for people who don't know.
Yes.
Gino is Gino Salamone. He's with WITI Fox 6 TV in Milwaukee, daily on the news at 4, and his interviews run on the Dish Network show, Hollywood One-on-One. And we first met Gino, was it when you brought some celebrities?
It was Mr. Ed.
Yeah.
Well, not Mr. Ed.
I think it was Pumpkin Fest.
Was
no.
Pumpkin Fest was the first time.
Really?
Yes.
Jinx Finks.
And then I brought some people in.
And
are you sure you remember your first time?
You forgot the intro. You forgot everything about me. This is crushing.
But we remembered your phone number. No, actually, we didn't even remember that.
and it's awful that I forgot, because as everybody knows, the show is so heavily scripted, and I just forgot that page of the script.
That's okay.
Do you remember that there were people? There were people that would say to us, "Could we get one of your scripts to auction off for our charity?"
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Oh, no.
Seriously.
Oh, at least a dozen times in our lifetime, there have been people that have contacted us and wanted to know if we could have an autographed copy of your script.
Now, the part I remember was you would say the big and the small, and then Johnny would go, small.
Oh, you're right. I'm going to have to see if I can find one of those old air checks and write that down for the next time we have you on.
Oh, that's right. Now, just to show you that there are people listening now that did hear you at 3:45 in the morning, here is a listener from a 708 area code who wants to know about your ear hair.
You realize there are a whole lot of people right now that they have enough reason to drive off the road with the ice.
Really?
Now we just gave them another air hair. Yeah. The hell?
I actually remember that story, Gino. You were on a plane, and didn't you stretch your ear hair across the aisle and
I didn't understand what would happen. I'd get on the plane completely manicured, and by the end of the flight, there would be a cable of ear hair coming off of one of my ears. Disgusting.
And just something happened in the atmosphere that made your hair grow.
I guess so.
And you kept trying to braid it into a gift for Sandra Bullock.
I told you at one time, a little girl picked it up and was jumping rope in the aisle of the airplane.
And speaking of Sandra Bullock, again, a person who knows you from 3:45 in the morning says, wasn't he married to Sandra Bullock?
You know, God bless that person for even, it's so far-fetched, but to even insinuate that it could have happened makes me incredibly
happy.
So
for many, many years, Gino tried to make us believe that he was engaged to Sandra Bullock.
No, it's on tape. In fact, If I have to produce the tape, I will. She did accept. I put the ring on her finger, and she jumped on my lap and said she was ecstatic.
Mm-hmm. And then they gave her medication.
And then she sobered up.
I don't care. For those minutes,
that's right.
An item.
And then Gino followed up on that when you brought your mother, quote unquote, Florence Henderson, onto the set.
Yes.
So that she could seal the deal, right?
Well, if you go to YouTube and look up Sandra Bullock and Gilbert Gottfried, you will see the tragic mistake when I was interviewing Sandra and Melissa McCarthy for The Heat. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, Melissa, I've been trying to tell her how I feel for all these years, and she never hears me. So I brought someone who she might hear. Well, I should have known better because, first of all, she loved Gilbert Gottfried, which is great. But he went way off script.
No.
That I still can't believe.
So, Gino, do you ever pinch yourself and say, wow, they pay me to do this?
I still do. Look, it's the greatest job.
It
and
is.
I've had so many amazing memories. I was looking back at just this year, in fact. You know, they sent me to Liverpool for the Yesterday movie.
Yeah.
Now, I always wanted to go, and I love the Beatles. It was just great to be able to experience that.
I guess. And
that movie was one of the real nice surprises of the year for us.
Yeah.
I frankly really wasn't anticipating anything, and I came out thinking, what a sweet movie.
I really
liked it.
Yeah, it was a really good you just felt good afterwards. But it also it made us talk a lot. Remember, we were with Beatles fans, and we had a great dinner conversation afterwards over that movie. So, as you look back over 2019, you see all the movies, you go to all of the press junkets, you get to interview all the stars. Who, hands down, who is your favorite person to interview?
Well, I think you just said it. How can it get any better than it does with Sandra Bullock?
Yeah.
Still?
I mean, she's fun, she's nice, she gives great answers.
Yeah.
It's hard to top that.
Okay, does Tommy Lee Jones still hold the record for being the worst interview?
Yes. For me and for everybody else that does this.
But you were always terrified.
LA Magazine did a cover story one time, and it was 100 Things to Fear in Los Angeles. And number one was earthquake, number two was mudslides, number seven was Tommy Lee Jones at a press junket. And I'm not kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not surprised.
And there were times when Gino would join us and say, I'm going to L.A. I have to interview Tommy Lee Jones. I am absolutely terrified. It's going to be worse than it was the last time I interviewed him.
Well, he gave me a catchphrase in Milwaukee. People that don't even know me come up to me, and they just look at me and go, and? Because I asked him a question, and he responded and said, and I didn't say anything, and then he said, and a second time.
What?
And I wanted to say what I really thought of him, but
and?
I held on. Thanks.
Wow. So who are the new kids out there, though, that you've interviewed and you said, wow, we're going to be hearing a lot from this one in, you know, 5 years, 10 years, whatever?
Well, I got to say, this year I've been impressed more with the old guard. And I want to start with The Irishman, the Netflix movie. Did you guys make it through it?
No, I didn't have any interest. I'm sorry.
It's 3.5 hours, and somebody steals that movie. That was, to me, completely unlikely, and that was Joe Pesci.
That's interesting.
Because
I thought I was going to say to you, I might see the movie just based on Joe Pesci's acting in the movie.
Yes, because when Martin Scorsese approached him about doing this, he said, no, he was in retirement, and he said, no, I don't want, we've done this already.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this character is so unlike anything that Joe Pesci has done, it's unbelievable. So I would recommend seeing it just for his performance. But, you know, everyone else is great in it, too.
But hasn't it been done before? Didn't you find yourself after an hour and a half going, yeah, okay, I'm an Italian guy. This has been done before.
Maybe it's because I'm an Italian guy. I enjoy seeing it so much.
More.
A talent that is younger and is behind the scenes is Greta Gerwig, who we've seen, you know, as an actress before. But what she did with Little Women, I thought was incredible. She just
really?
Did an amazing. Yes, wrote the script and, you know, really, really did a great job. I think it's in my top 10.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to hear that, because I just read a Variety article about why Little Women is not getting attention and won't get attention because guys don't like movies that are about women and by women. And I thought that's kind of a broad brush to paint with. And
That takes me back, and I've told this story before, but that kind of prejudice takes me back to my first job in radio, when I was told, you will not play more than one female vocal in an hour because the audience won't stand for it. The hell?
And then 10 years after that, when I got into radio, we were told that we could not play them back to back because radios will turn off if you play a Barbara Streisand and an Olivia Newton-John back to back. Yeah, really. That was
now,
it.
Did you see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yes.
Yes.
And I loved it.
Really, really
enjoyed. Go ahead.
I really enjoyed it. It led us into a conversation about projecting what probably happened after the final scene there.
Oh, but I tell you, Brad Pitt, you cannot take your eyes off him in that movie. When he's wearing those white jeans and that white jean jacket, oh my gosh.
I think let's also talk about that young girl, though, Julia
Butters,
who had that scene.
She's wonderful.
Unbelievably good. And then there's a man who lives in Wisconsin, Mike Mull, who plays Bruce Lee. He and his wife live here by choice. They live outside of Madison because they wanted to raise their family here. I thought he was incredible, although Bruce Lee's daughter, not happy about
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
And, Johnny, help me. I have a brain fade. What was the article I told you about within the past 2 weeks? It was an album that I got, and it was referring to the guy who was the stuntman, who actually, this was based on his life, but he was a friend of,
I don't know.
Darn.
Right.
But Tarantino's mind, he probably came across this album because the way his mind works, and I, frankly, take away my American Girl card if you want. I don't like Tarantino movies. I absolutely loved this movie.
Yeah.
Well, let's just talk even about the look of it. How it felt like the 1960s.
Yeah.
And how the radio station, KHJ, became a character in the movie.
Yeah. Yes.
And they were using...
If you go to his theater, Quentin Tarantino has a theater in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to see it again at his theater. He had KHJ air checks playing before and after the movie, which was incredible. And then he showed some scenes that did not make it, including the hullabaloo scene that was in the trailer of Leo DiCaprio singing and dancing that I thought was incredible. That's why the DVD is out. I believe that's in there. You have to see it because it felt like you were watching Hullabaloo.
I loved Hullabaloo. Because Bobby Sherman was on Hullabaloo. That's why I loved it.
No, Bobby Sherman was on... he was Shindig. He was one of the part of the Shindogs.
Okay, I heard you guys arguing about the decade. Now, if you start with the Smokey the Bear stuff again, I'm leaving.
And the Shindogs included people like the Righteous Brothers.
Oh, hush.
And it was very cool, but it was Shindig.
Oh, it was a singing show. And it's Smokey Bear.
The Bear.
Gino Salamone is with us talking showbiz with the Machino, so stay with us on WGN.
Showbiz train, baby, won't you climb on board? Showbiz train, baby, won't you climb on board?
Well, boys and girls, once again, it's time for us to take a look at the lives of those who inhabit the big and small screens and find out just how big or
small
they really are. And here with the pertinent poop is the pertinent poopmeister, his own bad self,
Gino, the showbiz machino.
How did that happen?
I think he hurt himself during the break. He was thinking so hard, he pulled a muscle.
And I didn't look anything up. I don't think I got it exact, but that's
pretty good.
Close enough for jazz.
That was it.
And so that was 3:45 in the morning as Gino would get up to head into makeup for his morning show.
And again, for those of you just joining us, where you been? And we should explain that Gino Salamone is with WITI Fox 6 TV in Milwaukee, daily on the news at 4, and his interviews run on the Dish Network show Hollywood One-on-One.
One of my favorite things that you have done over the years, Gino, is you talk to some of the old-timers, whether it's Dom DeLuise or Carl Reiner, or more recently, Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. He seems like...
I was able to spend the day with him, the afternoon at his house, and it was such a treat. Now, remember, he's 93 or 94 now.
And he looks so good.
Oh, he came in, walked into the room with no shoes or socks, and was dancing.
Oh.
That's what he does. And I thought, okay, maybe I'm talking to him too long. I tried to end it, and he said, no, I love it. He said, we're talking about my favorite subject, me.
Oh.
And the recall, I mean, it's amazing. Now, let's also say his wife is in her 40s.
So, really?
And right now I'm hearing Bob Collins saying, if she dies, she dies.
Well, they sometimes hang out with Peter Marshall, and it's the same situation. Peter Marshall is in his 90s, and his wife is in her 40s.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Leave it alone, guys. Uh-huh. Oh, wow. Oh,
and I have to tell you that we didn't speak. I had a favorite musical artist from the 70s who had never been to the U.S. since the 70s, and was in New York for one date, and I decided I was going to go. And I got a chance to spend some time with him.
Ooh.
He was not a one-hit wonder, but he had several hits. Yeah. One, probably called one of the most depressing songs of all time. Can you guess who I'm talking
Gilbert
about?
Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Exactly right.
You're
Alone
kidding.
Again, naturally.
You are kidding me. Because that is truly the most depressing song ever in pop music.
And it's one of those classic cases of, if you don't listen to the lyrics and you just listen to the melody and the arrangement, you think, oh, what a fun little bouncy song.
Oh.
But in a little while from now,
to treat myself and visit a nearby tower. Climbing to the top to throw myself off. Yeah, that's pretty depressing.
So you really, really loved him in the 70s and went to...
I did. Remember the song Claire?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. There was another one, Get Down, which was also a hit.
That was kind of a fun song. It was very un-Gilbert O'Sullivan-y, but it was
kind of
fun.
Well, he had a great voice. I mean, but it was hard to get over the depression. So
I will tell you that he is coming to Chicago April 19th, and I'm going again because the show was so great. And he has a new album, very Paul McCartney-like in the songs he writes. And he sounds fantastic. He looks the same. It's really, really incredible.
Would he be in
now,
his...
Do I have to buy tickets for us?
Would he be in his 60s, 70s, or...
I would guess 70s.
Wow.
So he's just a kid.
And he's still got the voice and...
Yes, he does. And he still has that hair. Remember how big that hair
was?
Yes,
yes. Was there a good crowd of people there?
It was sold out.
You're kidding.
And where is he going to be when he comes to Chicago?
The City Winery.
Oh.
We love the City Winery.
Yes.
I know. Now, all you people out there, don't rush and get tickets. We need to get tickets first.
Right. You know, I just realized you've got a thing for Gilbert's, don't you?
Oh, you know what?
Gilbert
that
Godfrey. Really? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I also booked a guest
and
for
we've
Gilbert
never.
Godfrey's.
And we've never seen them in the same place same time.
I just clicked on Gilbert O'Sullivan. Man, does he ever have the hair.
Yes, yes.
That is scary.
And I want to tell you another thing that happened in Chicago this past year that I look back with great affection. Do you know who Phil Rosenthal is?
Of course.
Yeah.
Not the writer.
Oh.
The guy who did Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. He also has two shows on Netflix. Somebody feed Phil, and I'll have what Phil's having.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he taped an episode in Chicago, and Julia Sweeney was nice enough to invite me. And so when that episode airs, you will see us. We got hot dogs all over the city.
How many places did you go to?
I think we went to three, maybe four.
I'm just Superdog?
We did not go to Superdog.
Oh.
It's
an incomplete piece then. So is Julia Sweeney in the series as well?
Well, no. The series is he goes to different cities and he eats. And so because he lived in Chicago, he
hooked up with her. Oh, I see.
Right. But she's having an amazing year, too, by the way.
Yes. And we always have loved Julia Sweeney. And you were kind enough to bring her into the studio for us to visit with her one night. What's her latest project?
Okay, she's in a show right now called Work in Progress that's on Showtime, shot completely in Chicago.
Hmm.
And it's she left the business and raised her daughter with her husband in Chicago and then decided she wanted to go back to show business. So they moved back to L.A. She thought she wouldn't work. She's on three series.
Oh, my gosh.
She's also A.D. Bryant's mother on Shrill, which airs on Hulu.
We don't do Hulu, but I would just to see Julia Sweeney.
Yeah.
And A.D. Bryant, Chicago's A.D. Bryant, because she's so good in that series.
You mentioned Hulu. Is that one of the showbiz stories of the year, how the playing field has really been leveled with Hulu, Netflix,
Apple TV, and
Apple TV, producing great not only series but movies?
Well, and movies now that are in contention for Oscars.
Yeah.
Have you watched Marriage Story?
No, but I've been warned. It's not the easiest thing in the world to watch.
No.
It's like you're peeking in on an actual marriage. It's really intense.
And Adam Driver was incredible. Then the two popes they have on Netflix with Anthony Hopkins. Have you seen that one?
No, but
heard a lot of good things about it.
Yeah.
Yes. You will enjoy that. And, of course, they financed and they have The Irishman. So, yes,
that's right.
First time, they're like the leading player right now in Hollywood. And I've got to tell you, the amount of press junkets that they're doing is really staggering, like more than probably all the other studios put together.
And that costs money, so that means they're making money, or at least they realize they have to do this to get their name out there and to win the awards, and then it becomes a domino effect.
Well, what kind of an impact is that having on Hollywood? And here's what I mean by that. On one hand, for the actors and actresses, it's another area for them to apply their trade. But how much are the traditional major studios reacting to this kind of stuff?
Oh, first of all, in the whole competing for awards, Netflix flew people in just for parties to, lobby for votes. And the studios don't do that, and they just don't feel like they could compete with them. And, like, The Irishman could not be made. Scorsese tried to make it. The budget was so big, and to do a movie that's 3 hours and 30 minutes long, everyone else said no, and Netflix said sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, it is good for filmmakers because it is a place where it seems like money is no object if you've got something worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Apple TV is going to be a real contender, too? I know the Jennifer Aniston...
Reese Witherspoon show, the morning show.
It got a lot of press, but I'm just wondering what else is to come from Apple TV.
Well, that's here's the problem. There are so many streaming services that are going to launch.
Yeah.
The word is that Apple TV and a couple others might get swallowed up.
Mm-hmm.
Someone may buy them.
Choices. So many choices. Not enough hours in the day.
I want you to...
Not enough hours in the day. And I'll tell you something. My cable bill is $200 a month with just HBO and Showtime. And I have never heard of more people cutting the cord
and
just doing things piecemeal to get what they want.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, absolutely.
If you can, hold on for a couple of seconds. I want to come back, and I want to remember Jennifer Aniston. I want to come back to that in just a couple of seconds. But stay with us on WGN.
Showbiz Train.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Time for a few more minutes with Gino, the showbiz machino. And again, remember, you can see Gino in Milwaukee, WITI Fox 6 TV, Milwaukee daily on the news at 4, and his interviews run on the Dish Network show, Hollywood One-on-One. So I said, let's come back to Jennifer Aniston.
Yes.
Why on earth did she have any work done on her face? She didn't need it at all, and it is so noticeable that now she decided to do it. Why? What the?
I know. Her mouth is completely misshapen now. It's, to me, it's tragic, but it speaks to the problem in Hollywood. Women are not allowed to age. They don't feel they're allowed to age. Men can age and continue to work.
I hate that.
I know.
And men can age and continue to work and get 40-year-old women when they're in their 90s.
Yeah.
What's wrong with this picture?
Yep.
Hey, I'm not seeing any age difference, but look what Steve got.
Oh, thank you.
I love this couple. Anyway.
Well.
No, but it was, Steve, when I saw that at one, maybe a movie or two ago, I noticed her mouth, and it just... It was so sad.
And her very best friend, Courtney Cox, had already been down that road and changed her beautiful face. And you'd think she'd look at her and say, you know what? I'm not going to go there.
And there are examples. I'm trying to think of, who is it? Dame, what's her face? Who's never
Judy
had.
Judy Dench?
Yeah.
Oh, and Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Talk about aging gracefully.
Meryl
and,
Streep.
And sexily. Sexily?
Sexily.
Okay.
Yes.
But good for them. They've never had facial surgery, and they're wonderful what they do.
And they still work.
Eva Marie Saint is in her 90s, and I got to interview her a couple years ago. Spectacular.
Well,
she just looks like a real human being.
Do you think Rita Moreno has had work? Because she's stunning. She really is.
I know.
But
and
part of it is that...
So great, talented.
You know, that fabulous body, too, she's got going on. It's like, well, you're wearing an outfit that you wore in the 40s? Come on, woman.
And I wanted to say something. Because I knew I was going to be talking to you, I had not gone to see it, and I thought it might come up. You mentioned Judy Dench. I went to see Cats.
You did?
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, what's your take? Are you team Cats or not so much? Is it a dog?
I'm calling up the great Gene Shalit, who's still alive, how he would have reviewed this.
Yeah.
Cats is meow.
Well, I loved what Michael Phillips wrote about it. It was Cats, it's a dog. Possibly the worst movie of the year, and it gave it 0 stars.
Strong message to follow, right?
Okay, first of all, it was not a great Broadway show to begin with.
No,
thank you.
I agree.
It was a great show.
Yes.
So you put that and then the effects, and it just, people look strange and bizarre, and I love Judy Dench, but she looks like Bert Lahr. In the Okay, and then there's a scene, and I some of the cats wear coats. Mm-hmm. Some might wear a pair of pants.
I've been to that party.
Reclined in a cat bed without anything on, and it made me uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you've got all these stars, so the cost of this movie is mind-boggling.
Well, and they've already given up. Universal's already ready to pull it from the theaters, and they're not doing anything trying to get it any awards because it's not going to get any.
But wait. I predict that in very short time, it's going to become kitschy. It's going to become kind of, maybe they'll figure out a way to do a sing-along with Cats, and people will dress up in outfits, and I think that may happen.
It will become the new Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, bite your tongue. That was a classic. That's not so much. Okay, it looks like Cats cost $100 million to produce, and it set Universal back an additional $95 million for global marketing and distribution. Well, that's insane.
Here's the other thing. Yeah, here's the other thing. It wasn't done. When they showed it to critics in London, it was not finished. So, and then they sent prints out the first week where you could see the person's hands or a wedding ring.
What?
And then they sent out a fixed print a week later to theaters.
Okay, whatever happens to them, they're to blame, because that's just stupid.
Right. That well, you is remember just... that when you had an assignment at school, you got it done?
Yep.
They had an assignment. They had a date firmly, and they could not get it done in time.
Wow. That is weird. So what were your favorite, hands down, when you look back on 2019, your favorite movies?
Okay. I've already said Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and The Irishman.
Marriage?
I was shocked and impressed by Awkwafina in The Farewell, which is a really nice movie about a girl going back to China because her grandmother is dying.
Oh, right. Yeah. I want to see that.
Yeah, we never get to see like a woman's way, and I thought it was great.
You went into digital hell for a second. We never get the...
We have not been able to see her act like this before, and it was really, really great to see that.
But sadly, we blinked and it was gone. So you have to see it on demand or just wait till it's available. Because Awkwafina did the talk show circuit, and I thought she was delightful. She sold me on the movie. I thought it was a great idea, and every clip that I saw I thought was delightful, and then it wasn't available.
Can I throw a documentary at you that I really liked? Apollo 11. Now, do you know the story of this?
No.
They had documentary crews documenting the whole Apollo 11 journey. Now, I thought we'd seen everything, but there were these canisters of film that were found, and they are in such pristine shape.
Oh, I did hear about this. Yes.
Yeah. It's just really an incredible story. We know what happened, and it takes you back to that time, but it was just incredible to see things that I had never seen before. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed. The movie 1917, which I believe opens the 10th everywhere, this is a crafty, it amazes me how they did it. It looks like one continuous shot of these two soldiers who have to go through the most dangerous territory to get a message to the British troops to save them from being massacred.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like the camera never stops. Like it follows them the entire way. How they did it was incredible. Now, one that I'm sure you would like, and maybe you did see, Ford versus Ferrari?
No.
No, we haven't, but I've heard a lot of good things about it.
I loved it. And I you're car people to begin with. You're really going to enjoy that movie.
What did you think of The Joker? Where did you fall on that one?
I was so nervous that opening week because I was convinced something bad was going to happen.
Yeah.
This is not a superhero movie. This is not a cartoon movie. This is the story of a mentally ill man.
Yeah.
And I really feared something was going to happen. I'm very happy nothing did. And I think it's going to be really hard to beat Joaquin Phoenix. You know, Eddie Murphy's making the rounds, and they're working on, getting him a nomination, which I'm sure he'll get. But I don't think anyone is going to beat Joaquin Phoenix.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm thinking my money's on Dolomite, the Eddie Murphy character, because everyone that's seen it has just said.
Yeah.
In fact, we have a friend who is a manager of musical acts, and she said, I'm going to require my talent to watch this movie because there's so much to be learned about basically presenting yourself to the public and, just going for it.
Mm-hmm.
Perseverance. That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
He never gave up. Never gave up.
I have to read this text from a 312 area code. Now, Gino, you've tuned in. You've heard Team 1 and Team 0. When does the decade end? So the listener writes, love you, Johnny, but I believe only Team 1 people believe that cats will live on as a possible sing-along.
Yep.
Thank you.
Absolutely right.
That is great.
So I guess when I said in our lifetime it will become a cultural phenomenon, this person went, what? Right.
I'm going to go with that. It's never going to be a hit in 9 lifetimes. Believe me.
Oh, that's a good line. That's really good. Oh, gosh. I loved Captain Marvel this year because of who I'm married to. We go to all of the superhero movies. That may have been one of my favorites.
And I honestly, as much as I love superheroes, I was a little apprehensive about that. But I thought it was a wonderful movie.
Yeah.
I was really impressed.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was a lot of good stuff. But again, I go back to the business of there's so many choices and so little time to catch all of these things. And, you know, again, Gino, you get paid to watch these movies. Sometimes it's not easy because some of this stuff is just dreck, I'm sure.
Right. And, you know, I walked out of a movie once, a Richard Gere, Winona Ryder movie, Autumn in New York.
Yes.
And a woman wrote me a letter and she said, "It is your job to stay through the movie." And she was absolutely right. So I've never walked out of one again, but it was tough during Cats.
I said to Stephen, he wanted to walk out of Natural Born Killers. I said, we can't talk about it unless you stick it out.
And Natural Born Killers was a case of a movie that I knew literally the first 10 minutes into it, I knew I was going to hate this piece of dreck. And by the time we sat through whatever it was, the 2 hours, I was correct in my initial assessment.
And can I just say that I hope in 2020 that we see a little less of Woody Harrelson? I think he's a fine actor, but I'm just sick of Woody Harrelson.
Right, right. Well, did you see Midway?
No.
Okay. Have you seen him on Saturday Night Live?
Yes.
Yeah.
In Midway, I think he had the same teeth. I'm not kidding. It was distracting. And I interviewed Roland Emmerich. They flew us to Hawaii to talk about that movie.
Oh,
now, you would think if a critic's going to be swayed, it's a trip to Hawaii. No, it did not sway me. The director, Roland Emmerich, said, "I knew I needed somebody to be the captain of this movie, to be the star of this movie. And I chose Woody Harrelson." And I wanted to go,
really?
That was your choice.
Oh, Gino.
Gino, if we don't...
I don't know if I put him to lead my troops.
This has been fun, but if we don't wrap this up, they won't let us come back.
Okay. Well, it was great to talk to you.
Thank
it's always
you.
Wonderful
you
to talk
too.
To you, Gino.
Always. And Happy New Year, and I hope that we can be at the same place at the same time next year.
That would be great.
Thank you,
Gino.
Take care, honey. Bye-bye.